Because we were just passing, and because we long to see you, we had a heading for California and New York, so you can understand, and Michigan. So praise be to God. It's not really your turn. We just steal a day out of somebody else's turn to give you, and I'm sure you'd be glad to hear that instead of being mad with me. But it's coming one night. But there is a special word I think the Lord has placed on my heart for you, brethren. And I'm glad we have the privilege of coming to give you this word. We were in Fort Atkinson. I don't know if you remember the brother who was in the convention for the first time last time. And we were in their place in Fort Atkinson. God has done a great work. Something is happening in the church. The church has reached a point where it's separating, and there's one set of people going one way and another set going another way. And God has been using us to stabilize those who would have probably given up, as the case is in that last church we've been. They were just about to give up. And praise God, nothing but wildfire came down on them. Some of you who come from Pentecost, you know what wildfire is. People roll on the ground and tie up one another with ropes and things like that and loose them in the name of the Lord and all kinds of antics to take your mind off the true Spirit of God, what God was doing. And so these things we have seen happening. And we're thanking God that we're able to come in time at some time. Now, praise be to God. There is a message here for you, and I just sincerely hope that you will be able to receive it. I hope you'll be able to receive it. Praise be to God. Get that out of my way. You know? And the word comes, we begin with 2 Thessalonians. We want to speak about the abomination in the holy place. Praise be to God. The abomination in the holy place. Praise God. Somebody took away my blackboard. Ruth, you want to put back that thing right here for me? That if I could, yes, if I could mark on it sometimes, you know. 2 Thessalonians. Let's hit 2 Thessalonians and take the third verse, chapter 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come an apostasy, a rebellion. If you have fallen away, just cross that out and put apostasy, which is what is in the Greek. And we are going to go strictly by the words of the Lord tonight. Not a falling away, but an apostasy or a rebellion first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of Satan, perdition, here translated son of Satan. Now, the manifestation that is going on in the church today is a manifestation of the Antichrist. We must recognize it and realize that some of us are participating in this manifestation and get rid of it. It's not an indictment. It's the truth, and we must know the truth is going to set us free. Praise be to God. The things that we have been going on with for years have been handed down to us, and we call it tradition. But it is from the Antichrist. It's not our tradition. If our tradition came from the Jews, then what we are doing has nothing to do with the Jews. God never gave the Jews that. And if you can check the things that we do in church, that God never did give the Jews, never was put in the Old Testament for us to do, you will realize that our whole lives have been overshadowed by the Antichrist. He's thinking. And this is what we call the mark of the beast in the forehead. Now, we can't say everything tonight, but I'm going to say as much as I can. if you let me. Now, praise be to God. We see here that in Revelation chapter 12, turn your Bibles quickly tonight. In verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the woman that has the crown from the apostles. See, her crown is the apostolic symbol, 12 stars. Amen. Now, that's the woman that we belong to. That's the woman that is bringing forth the man child. Now, and she being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. Now, this woman then is our church, is the body of Christ of which we are a part. And we are saying that at this moment she's paining to be delivered, but she cannot bring forth. She's having trouble in bringing forth because something is disrupting the process of birth. She cannot come forth with the man child. Now, one of the problems that is disrupting this birth is the Antichrist in us. It is the Babylonish system which we have imbibed, which is in us. Because if the man child must come forth from within us and inside of us is not ready, then the man child cannot come forth, neither can Jesus Christ come from the sky. If you look at Acts chapter 3, you'll see it saying that we are holding back the coming of Jesus. Acts chapter 3, somebody hit verses 20-21 for me, if you find it before I do. The heavens must retain him until the times of restitution of all things. Jesus cannot come until all things are restored. Another verse that tells us we are holding back Jesus. Take 2 Peter 3 and verse 12. If you find it before me again, you read it. Praise be to God.
All these things are to be destroyed in this way. What sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?
Sorry, it was verse 11 I meant.
Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat.
Yes, praise God. It means that we are hastening. We can hasten or we can hold back the coming of the Lord, because if Jesus Christ must descend in a certain place and the place is not prepared, the place is yet occupied by a tenant that refuses to come up, then Jesus cannot come. Amen. For he's not coming to destroy us. He's not coming to destroy us. He's coming to save us, to lift us up. And if he's coming to lift us up and we are not ready to receive him, he cannot come. Very simple. Now, what is it that is holding back? If you go back into Thessalonians, get back to Thessalonians and read verse 7 and verse 7, if you find it before I do, you read it. Praise God. For the mystery of iniquity that already work, only he who is holding it back will continue to hold it back until he rises up in the midst. Not taken out of the way, but until he rises, until the Antichrist rises up in the midst of the church, God has to hold back until the time is right. What makes the time right? It is you. If you're not ready, God got to hold back. I'm telling you, I've seen God playing a holding pattern. And I'm going to mention a few things to you that shows that God is holding back for us. It was last year, I think, that the Pope was shot. The Pope was shot just before he went to a meeting with the World Council of Churches to make a final joining of both the churches that are involved in the World Council of Churches and the Catholic Church. Up to now, the meeting hasn't come off. God stop it. You see, the One World Church, when the One World Church comes out, then it has a meaning to us that the world kingdom of the Antichrist has come together. The seven heads and ten horns are coming together. And God is holding back the progress. A lot of things are happening, holding back the progress. Many, many more things are happening. When you read your news, you look for these points in the news. What is holding back the progress of both the One World Government and the One World Church? Now, the Antichrist is three things. The Antichrist is a spirit. And this spirit has been working in the church. Back to 2 Thessalonians. Read that for me in 2 Thessalonians. The spirit that now worketh. Where is it? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, just the same chapter. Let's see now. The word, now a letter from you. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together. Remember ye, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, when was this? This was before 70 years after Jesus Christ. Might have been 60 AD. And Paul was saying that 60 years after Jesus, that the Antichrist was working in the church. See? Now, so it means, brethren, that after 2,000 years of work, he has got to a great degree of proficiency and success in his program. Now, the program of the Antichrist has been so successful that some of us don't even know that we are participating in the things that the Antichrist has brought upon us. And the chief thing, the name of the Antichrist, is rebellion. If you notice that they put here, in the verse 7 here, they talk about the lawless one. Some of you have amplified, right? And they said, for the mischief in it, that already, only he who now let it will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then, verse 8, shall the scripture here says, the wicked, and then shall the wicked or the wicked one be revealed. But that's not what the Greek tells us. It says, and then shall the lawless one. The lawless one. Now, what we are talking about then is lawlessness, rebellion in the church. That's what we're talking about. If you notice Daniel speaking of the Antichrist, he said at the end of time, the abomination that makes desolate will be manifested in the church. And Jesus Christ, in Matthew 24 and in verse 15, he tells us what part of the church this manifestation will take place. You see, the devil for a long time has been manifesting in the outer court. It's no strange thing if we have homosexual churches. It's no strange thing now again to us. We all know that. It's no strange thing if we have different abominations being perpetrated among the ministry. Amen. Out there. But what is strange and frightening is that the abomination comes
into the Holy Place Church. Now we have to identify the Holy Place Church. We must identify the Holy Place Church. You see, unless we understand what is meant by the Holy Place Church, we won't understand how much a part of this abomination we have become. I want you to look with me now at the 15th verse on chapter 24, and said, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountain." In other words, let them which be in the holy place flee out of the holy place into the holy of holies. Amen. And we sit down and we complacently come to church and we don't really understand that now is the time to agonize before God so that we get out of the holy place. Now, in what way then? We are in the holy place in three dimensions. First of all, let us describe what the holy place is. I'm going to draw the temple for you, the tabernacle, because that's the only thing that's going to show you what the holy place really is. Wrong pen. Praise God. All fine point pens, babe. I want the thick point. All fine point, thank you. All right, here we are. We are not there. Something must work. We need a blank transparency. We need one. You have one? I had one somewhere, but praise God. All right. All right. This is going to give us what we want here. All right. My drawing is getting worse every day. You notice it. All right. You said amen, brother? And this is the holy place. Thank you, brother. And this is the holy of holies. Good. Now, in that dimension, in the church dimension, focus for me. Yes, good. Okay, that one dazzled me now. All right. Now, we have the outer court having two works of grace. The outer court having two works of grace in it. And that is the death to sin and death to self. And that those two works of grace say that the people who are in that realm are still struggling with death to sin and death to self. Sin, they have not fully overcome, conquered sin. You see, sin is not exceedingly sinful yet. And they have not been fully baptized, sanctified, consecrated unto God and put aside for God's purpose alone yet. But they are being worked upon. They are still outside there. Now this realm is called the holy place realm. And in this realm, the people are busy feeding on Christ. They are busy united with Him. They are busy offering up their souls to God. See? And that's the holy place realm. And the holy of holies realm, which we know nothing about, nobody has got there. We see then that is the third part of the church. So you have the church divided in three parts. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. Now, if this place is the place where we are being prepared to enter into Christ, the body of Christ, then in here should be the body of Christ church, or the Pentecostal church. The church where people hear the Spirit, receive the Spirit, sanctified. I mean, the word sanctified comes from the word sanctus, Catholic word, Latin word, sanctus, sanctus spiritus. are the same Holy Spirit. So sanctus really means holy. So when you talk about sanctified, it means making you holy. And making you holy means making you whole. You're only part, you're only halfway made. And God says, this realm is to make you whole. So the realm of the church in which we are made holy is called a holy place church. Now when Jesus says that the abomination of desolation is going to come in the holy place, you can understand what he's talking about. He's talking about the rebellion, the sin of rebellion that caused Satan to fall from heaven and destroy the earth. That sin is coming forth in the holy place, in the holy place church. The same rebellion, the lawlessness that we read of in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians is inside of the people in the holy place, and they are holding fast to it although they have the Holy Ghost. Now the Bible says that the Holy Ghost came to teach us all things, Matthew chapter 16, to teach us all things and lead us into all truth. So where is the teaching we have received since Azusa Street? Huh? Let me tell you, since Azusa Street, the world had had an explosion of knowledge. Amen. The world has gone from peddling, the Wright brothers peddling, trying to fly, to great big jets flying through the sky, to going to the moon. And that is a giant step in the natural world. Where is the giant step in the spiritual world? What have we done? Amen. We have remained children. Men are holding on to Pentecost, refuse to let loose of Pentecost and to let God move them on into higher things. Some are holding on to the gifts. I have some news for you. Lift up your eyes now. Just look around the world, around United States especially. And don't you notice that all the big mighty men of the gifts are fallen? Don't you notice that most of them are in trouble? Got into carnality and all manner of distress and trouble? Why do you think it is happening? Because God has abolished. Hear me? God has abolished the church situation and is bringing forth his body. Amen. And his body is being prevented from coming forth by the churchiness in our minds. Amen. Hallelujah. If you can understand me tonight, it will be a great step on, because I'm excited about what God's saying to me. Hallelujah. And I'm not putting it together probably as I could if I had sat down calmly and said, speak to you nicely, but praise be to God. What's happening here then is happening in the holy place in another dimension, because in another dimension that your spirit is the holy of holies, your soul is the holy place, and your body is the outer court. And whereas the order came from heaven and gave the Antichrist the right over the holy place, he also got the right over the soul. You know, and something peculiar Jesus said, he said that if he didn't cut the time short, he said none of us would survive. None of us would survive. They are trying to perfect all manner of machinery that they could use upon man's mind to change your mind, to bug your brain, to cut out some parts of your brain to make you think like them. Oh yeah, somebody put it up in the legislature in England and they voted it down. No sir, they wanted to take criminals and to cut out the criminal thing in them. and cause them to be docile. And they said no, it would be against human rights. And it's only for a time that they have done that, because in Russia they are doing those sort of things. You remember they operated on Wormbrand's brain? And he came out, he couldn't remember who he was or what he was, but all he was doing was saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it really hit the communists and their program so badly that I don't think they bothered with any more Christians. Oh yeah, I think the time will come when they'll cut out somebody's brain and the person get up and still talking to them about Jesus. Yes. So we are saying that what's happening here is that the world is working upon our minds. Now this has been going on for a long time. That the church system, with all its evil, I wonder if you'll forgive me to use such words about the church. The church system, with all its evil plans, brought forth things in your lives and in our lives to bind us forever to Babylon. Believe you me. Because the word Babylon to God, I don't know what it means to you, but to God, it all he see is the middle of the word, Bel. You hear me? All God sees is Bel. Bel. All he sees is the Bel. And to God, Bel means Baal. And Baal to God means another God. It means rebellion against God. And so, as Christians, as people of God, who want to see the man-child come forth in us, there's only one thing that we can do, is to reject the system that is keeping us down. Praise be to God. Now, I have been one of the fortunate people to sit down and talk with Jesus, and Jesus showed me for 7 months. He kept on showing me, and then afterwards he began to come and show me in a different way. When I got baptized with the Holy Ghost, he began to speak and kept on showing me the word. And one of the covenants he made with me, one of the things he bound me to, would chain me to, was never to be a pastor in the church of God. Never to take charge of his people. You heard me? One of the things he bound me to, this is the reason why I couldn't do it. And this is the reason why I never do it. And he bound me to this. And I say, brethren, that if you do it, it's going to stop your progress. It's going to stop you right there. Because, let me show you a scripture that he brought to me today. You look for me at, Samuel. First Samuel. And, where is it now? Chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And in verse 6. Let's see. I should read maybe 4 so that you understand the context. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Amen. Now, all the manipulations that have come forth in the church is to stop God from reigning over us. No church wants God to reign over them. I remember when I was in the Pentecostal church, I began to encourage the brethren to come forth in the Spirit. And brethren would start to manifest in the Spirit. And they would start to prophesy. and they would start to bring visions, and they would start to say this and say that, that the elders sometimes had to pray. Let me tell you, you can't form the fool with a spiritual church. If a church is spiritual, they tear you to pieces if you are not spiritual. Or you have to get them out. And they begin to bring visions to you. They begin to bring spiritual manifestations out in the church. And the next thing happens is that a devil manifestation will come forth. Amen. And remember, the devil dresses it up. And it even looks better than the spiritual, the godly manifestation over there. And if you are not standing right, you're swept away because you don't know what to do. This is what happened to us. Just a couple of weeks ago, we went into a certain church and the devil started manifesting, and there was cross manifestations. Shots were being fired all over and nobody knew what to do. And the poor elder just threw up his hand because he didn't know what to do. If we weren't there, that church would be finished. Destroyed completely that night. Amen. Praise be to God. I got up a word from the Lord and I said, that is wildfire. Yes, I said, that is wildfire. That's not of God. Nabab and Abihu took fire from their house and carried it into the house of God. And any fire, any manifestation, any prophecy, any word in the word in the house of the Lord that is not of God, it's not right fire, it's wild fire, it's not of God. And God says it will kill. And so, brethren, hallelujah, praise be to God. Samuel here, I was giving a story, was I? What was I saying?
You mean the brethren up in wherever you were?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I finished that. Okay. Well, praise God. I want to go back to what I was saying before. Amen. Yes. So then, here we are. The people of God. God brought them out of Egypt. God delivered them. God brought them to a point of responsibility. And now God is looking for mature action from them. They look around and they see the kings around. And one king came against them. And because the king came against them, the demon spirit, the Babylonish spirit that was in the heathen world attacked them. And they said, we want a king. We want a king like that king that come against us. You ever heard anything like that? Hallelujah. And so God said to Samuel, Samuel, you don't weep. It's not you, Samuel, they rejected. It is me, they don't want God to reign over them. Yes, I remember my story now. Amen. And I went back to that church. I'm in the church, and the bishop said to me, never you allow anybody to prophesy in your church. Remember, I'm talking about a Pentecostal church. He said, don't you allow prophecy. Don't you allow visions. He said, if they ever start prophesying, if they ever bring forth vision, they are going to take away the church from you. But blessed be the God, I wish you would.
Amen.
I wish I could see you getting up in God and moving.
Amen.
One of you girls wrote me a letter. Right, okay. You both look alike. I don't know which one. Hallelujah. Amen. You wrote me, and the thing blessed my soul because I had already mailed out the magazine to you with the same words you wrote. You haven't got that magazine yet? Hallelujah. I said, I wonder if you will know that the thing was mailed out before your letter came. Hallelujah. Blessed be to God. The Lord is moving in the body.
Amen.
The body must come alive. Brethren, if you don't get alive for God, if you don't find yourself bringing forth living, deliverance, and the word of God, or the ways of God, or something, if God's not moving in you, something is wrong with you.
Amen.
We must have a living church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Remember, I'll go to it soon. I'll go to Ephesians soon. But let me not go to it right now. You see, let me just finish what I'm saying. And so Samuel gave them their king. And you know what happened? Israel stepped one step backward from their God. And if you will look out there, and if you will remember, look at your history, your church history, that the church has been fading. The mighty men have been falling out. And you wonder why. Why all these mighty men find distractions and seem to turn off from the main line. Amen. You heard of men that used to come forth with mighty words of God, mighty power, mighty miracles. Nowadays, they're all fading. And you know what I found out recently? I shouldn't tell you all these bad things, should I? Recently, I found out that some of them were faking miracles. Faking miracles in order to impress you. They used to be men of great miracles. I remember one of the mighty men of miracles. He used to call himself God's man of power. Man, I remember one time they had a madman. The man was just gone. I mean, he would tear up anybody. And men caught him and chained him and put him in a cage and brought him to this man. And this man said, "Open the cage." And they said, "No, we won't do that." He said, "Open the cage in the name of the Lord." And they got afraid. They opened the cage. He stepped in. He said, "No, you lock the cage." They locked him up in there with this man. He loosed the man, and there was silence inside. Nothing happened. Next thing happened, he knocked on the door. They opened it. Both men came out, and the man was clothed in his right mind. This man died a drunkard. This man drank himself to death while preaching. The man of God. I'm talking about. He drank himself to death while preaching. You know, I was talking with somebody the other night, and I said, "What happened to your friend, this mighty man, Tommy Hicks?" You must have heard of Tommy Hicks. Mighty man, translated man, man translated from here to Russia. All kind of mighty miracles. He went down to South America, and he brought down the whole nation of Argentina with the power of God. He died a drunkard. See, I'm telling you about failures. I'm telling you that we must know the time of God. We must know the hour of God now. And we must begin to submit to what God is doing. God is bringing forth His body. God is not interested anymore in the one man ministry. Somebody said, "But says this thing never worked." I said, "Yes. But if Jesus Christ told me it's going to work, it's going to work." Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that's what I believe in. I cannot believe in anything else. I can't step backward. If I come in here and appoint one of you a pastor and agree with a pastor for this church, you count me finished. You hear that? You count me. Cecil is finished because he has backed off from what God told him in the secret place. Never you. You hear me? That's the kind of way. Never you. Oh, yes. If I come and tell one of you to go to Bible school, I will be backing off from God. Because he put his finger in my face one day. First, in all my dealings with Jesus, I've never seen him wrath. I've never seen him angry as that day when I went and joined Bible school. And when I came back, I saw the man standing in the sun coming through the window, afternoon sun, coming through the window, and the shape of a man standing with his back towards me. I knew it was Jesus. I went up to him and said, "Lord, I did a great wonderful thing today. I just joined the Bible school. He turned around and his eyes was blazing. He put his finger in my face. The finger must have been that size. I saw nothing else but the big finger in my face. And he said, if you go to Bible school, you reject me as your teacher.
Amen.
God, I fell down to the ground. And that's where our interview for that day ended. Praise be to God. I'm saying, brethren, that Babylon has come in to us. And it's in here. It's in here. And we have to get rid of it. I remember the day when I wanted to be the great pastor. Did I tell you that story? How God let the devil loose on me. And the devil come to me and said, my son. And I said, yes, Lord. The devil came to me and said, my son, that thing hurt me up till this day. That Satan got me tricked so that I... My son, and I said, yes, Lord. And he began to tell me all about the women in the church and all about the men and what they were carrying on with. Amen. Do you know that God don't tell people that about other people? Sister, if God tell you something bad about somebody, it's because you love that person no end. And you are going to weep with that person. And it's the same message that came out in the book this month. It says that you become one with a person. Once you know about the person's problem, you are in trouble with that person. You are called upon to help that person bear his sin. You have to go pray with that person. You have to go work with him. You have to help him to get rid of it. It's like somebody come and confess to you that he committed murder. Sister, you are in trouble. Oh yes. The government is going to hold you if you don't turn him in. You know that, don't you? That's law. See, you become an accessor after the fact. After the murder, you become guilty of murder and you're in your bed. Amen. Well, praise be to God. This is what we are seeing. That the Babylon has come into the church. Now, I want to show you a few points here. And if you turn, when the Catholic Church took over the early church and got to power about 325 A.D., when they had the first council, they made some changes. Thank you. They made some changes. And it was the groundwork of incorporating the church into Babylon. The groundwork of incorporating the church into Babylon. One of the chief things they did, they appointed bishops. They appointed bishops. Now let's read of the place in the scripture that it talk about bishops. Hallelujah. We go to what? Timothy? Huh? Good. Chapter 3. And in verse 1. Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, 1 Timothy, please. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desired a good work. Just one verse. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, it did not really say that. Because the word bishop here is Latin. The word bishop was never in the Greek. They have no such word in the Greek. Amen. The word says, if you wish to be an overseer or to oversight the flock, then you so on. So it's a good thing that you desire to do. Praise be to God. And when Paul went on to explain, he explained that the elders are the overseers of the flock. So the word bishop here was a common bee. You notice it? The common bee. It wasn't a capital letter. It wasn't a large letter. It was a small letter. Meaning to say, it was not the name of a person. But we took it. Babylon took it. The church took it. And they changed it. So if you ever use the word bishop now, you're in trouble. Don't you see? If you use the word bishop now, you are in trouble. Because bishop has a different meaning from what God meant when he said it. All God means is that the elders oversight the flock, and each elder is in the sense of an overseer of the section of work office that God gives him to work. See, so, all right. In other words, when Paul called, the disciples called the seven what? Hallelujah, come on now. What did he call? Seven what? Seven men. Maybe he decided to sidestep the issue. He said seven men. When he called the seven men, it was not seven deacons. But they took the word diaconon and they changed it to mean deacon. There was no such word named deacon. No such office. The early church people read this. Called some servants of God and put them in charge of the food or the distribution. And he said, get Holy Ghost men. Get men filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of God. That didn't sound to me like a busboy. Amen. It just sounded to me like what we call a minister. You see, they changed these words. They changed these words. And deep down in your heart and in your mind, it's ingrained. You understand what I'm saying? You have to stop thinking about your churches with deacons. You have to stop thinking about God's business with bishops. You have to stop thinking about God's business with ministers. You know what? The word minister comes from the word ministere, which is a Catholic Roman word. This is the Roman language. And the Roman language changed the meaning. Because actually in the time of Rome, when this Bible was written, the word minister meant servant. It did not mean the big shot that you send up to Washington. It did not have any such meaning. But the church took it. I want to show you how the church is the leader of Babylon. The church took the word, and the church changed the word to mean the man who is at the head of affairs. So that if you speak of the minister of a church, you are going to be speaking of a man at the head of the affairs of the church. Right? If you speak of a minister of government, you're going to speak in that you're speaking of a high position. You're not speaking of the man who sweeps the floor. Amen. Yet, the Bible said it, the Bible used the word for the man who sweeps the floor. So, the man who sweeps your floor, the man who mows your yard, he would be your minister. According to the Bible. Amen. And so the Lord took that same lowly menial word and used it. Amen. To mean the servant, what qualifies it, of God. Amen. Not servant of the lawn. Not servant to sweep the floor. But servant of God. You see, which this is what we should be. Now, alright, we turn to Ephesians. We turn to Ephesians. And we take that beautiful chapter 4. You can see this is a well-read Bible. Amen. Especially Ephesians. You take chapter 4. And in verse 11, and God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some shepherds and teachers. Now, if you take that word and call it pastors, you're in trouble. Because there's no such word in your Bible. God had no such thought. Are you understanding me, brother? Words are only given to express thoughts. Right? If words express the wrong thoughts, then they're wrong words. And if you say pastor, and pastor means the head of a congregation, especially the abomination of using the word pastor is the Z put before the pastor. That's the abomination. If they were saying a pastor, it would mean that you had many pastors and then he is only one. But when they say, I am the pastor of the First Presbyterian or the Baptist or whatever, that's putting him up there, you see. And it's a prestigious position as far as Babylon is concerned. Are we going to submit to this sort of thing? Anyhow, you accept the pastor position, you have stopped the man-child. You know why? Because, could somebody quote the first verse of Psalm 23 for me? Everybody quote it. You, the Lord is my shepherd. Now let me tell you something. It's the same word that they use for pastor. The Latin is pastor. See, the Latin is pastor, and the Greek word is shepherd, sheep driver. Amen. So when you talk about the Bible and what the Bible, now the shepherd in the sense of the Jew was a different shepherd from the Gentile shepherd. You better believe it. The Jewish shepherd is going to go before his sheep. And the sheep follow him as the scapegoat. The Gentile will have a scapegoat in his flock, and all the sheep follow the goat. Because sheep can't come back, you know. When sheep go out there, he has no sense to turn back. A dog, I read where a dog traveled across the whole United States. And people were driving across with their dog, and the dog dropped off the vehicle, and they didn't find out. And next thing, another week or two, the dog came home. You see, and that has to be a sense of navigation that the dog has. So does the goat. We see people in Jamaica let out their herd of goats, let them out in the mornings on the street. And those, they walk on every street and eat all the banana skins and eat, and they come back fat and filled, and they stand up at the door until they open the gate, they jump in. That's a goat. But a sheep would keep going. You'd find him in Timbuktu next. He has nowhere to turn back. Amen. And when God calls you sheep, you know, God has a special meaning to it, that you have a sheep nature. People stray and they need a shepherd to bring them back. Never forget that, church. Never forget that God is putting the heart of the shepherd in you, because there are many sheep who are going and going and going and can't help themselves, and you have to go and collar them and bring them back. Amen. So when you talk about the shepherd, you cannot have, say, the shepherd. I am the shepherd of the flock. You are Jesus. That's what you're saying. Amen. That's what you're saying. I am the pastor. You are saying that you are in the place of Jesus because Jesus is absent, and you are exactly following the Pope. Because the Pope said he is the great Papa, and he is the pastor of the whole church of the world. And he's saying that he's the vicar or the vice Christ. When Jesus Christ is absent, he, Pope, is in the world as the Christ. And he said there's no other mediator between God and man save through the Christ. This is why they tell you must come to confession and confess your sins, and they will forgive your sins. Read this month's issue. It's a lie. No man can forgive your sins unless you sinned against him.
If you hurt me, I can forgive you. And God said he will forgive you too. Amen. Hallelujah. But when we talk about Babylon in the church, we are talking about something that is ingrained in our behavior. When we come to church, the pattern of behavior tend towards being like the old church. Amen. And many in our midst cry out and said, we want a king. All the other churches around have kings. They have pastors. Why can't we have a pastor? It's not the will of God. And every church that has a pastor cannot bring forth the man child. You know why? Nobody can pass the pastor. How are you going to pass him? Yes, you can pass him through the door. Out you go. If you ever grow or get a revelation in Christ more than the pastor, you think he's going to step down and let you bring forth your revelation? No, sir. And let me tell you something. The devil only has to get the pastor and he get the congregation. And this is why they are falling. This is why every one of them is picking up false doctrines. Because they have a position which is unscriptural and they are exposed to the attack of Satan.
Yes. Amen.
You see what I'm saying? You look at them, you tell me which one is bringing forth Christ in the people. The people must minister. The minister or the servant then of God must fade away. He must get less and less as the congregation get more and more. If the congregation is getting more and more, his job is not as much as when they are giving tract. So the nearer you get to Christ, the nearer, hallelujah, the more oneness there should be between the pastor and the elders or the servants of God or whatever you want to call them, but don't call them pastors. Praise be to God. You understand what God is doing? God is bringing forth a body. Now, I say to God, Lord, you know, we have never seen the church work. What God has told us about the body, the beautiful body, we sing about it, we pray about it, we shout about it, but we never seen it. And I said, Lord, why is it won't work? Why can't we see it work? The pastor thing out there works. The discipleship situation works because they have the people under the thumb of a man. It works. The army works when they say forward, men march. Hallelujah. But we can't get the church to work. So my God, what's wrong? I know the vision is true. What is wrong? God said, all right. He said, you see how you work with your family. You look around at many of the brethren and you see they and their family doing all right. The children obeying the parents. There is love at home. There is joy and comfort, especially when the grandchildren come in. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And, you know, there is a certain amount of working. And I said, my God, I see the picture. We are more carnal than spiritual. We don't need to deceive ourselves. We need to get spiritual. We need to see God's business work like how we can work with our family. Because it is the family ties that make us work. It is the love between us that makes it work. And when the elders can't work together, it's the lack of love. It's carnality. Oh yes, he said, you strive and fight among yourselves. He said, because you are carnal. It's only carnal people fight. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you the truth. We don't even know yet how to submit one to another. And I, as an elder, only learned submission when after I got married and began to deal with my wife. Oh yeah. That's the time I learned that I wasn't a mighty force going through, kicking down all the barriers, praying for the sick and being healed and, you know, carrying on. You see what I mean? Isn't that the way some men feel? I found out
that I had with me, Son of God, in the space of a while, that I had talent, that I had brains, that I had God's wisdom, that I had someone who was hearing from God. Amen. And when you brush that aside, you brush God aside, brethren, and that's Babylon. Because you ever notice that you go around the city, and you see every church has a steeple or a horn. You ever see? Does this one have a horn, brother? Cut it off tomorrow morning. Right? Take your time. The steeple or the horn came from old Babylon. In Babylon, when the kings went out to fight, they would wear a horn to show how much power they have. And so when one man with two horns beat another king with two horns, he had four horns. And he's a four-horned man now, his head kind of getting heavy, and he goes out and he fights against another king with two horns. He take away his two horns, and he has six horns. So the horns got so many on their heads that they made a crown. And the crown is made up of many little horns. And if you count the horns and the crown of the Queen of England, you'll notice that she has more horns than any other king. You know what I mean? So it is that the church would show its steeple, the biggest steeple in town, the tallest steeple. That was the most powerful church in town. And, you know, in the Anglican church, you know, call it the Episcopal church. Well, the state church in the British countries is the Anglican church. And they must have the tallest steeple. They would never give you a permit to build a steeple taller than the steeple on the Canterbury. Amen. And this is the kind of thing we are talking about. And so Babylon goes from one extreme to another. And we are the people who just submitted to it. But let me tell you what has happened. You turn your Bibles with me to the 17th chapter of Revelation. You see, when I hit Revelation, you know I'm coming home. All right? And verse 2 says, I'm sorry, did I say 17? I want you to read the 18th. 18th, sorry. 18th and verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now you notice that in Leviticus 11, in my teaching of Leviticus 11, I tell you that the birds there that God says are unclean for you, you must not eat, it's speaking of ministries. Amen. If you have that understanding, then now you read birds here in Revelation. And you understand what God is saying, that the reason why Babylon is fallen is because of its headship. Are you there? Babylon, the church, the world system is fallen because it is headed up by devils. Devils have taken control of the leadership. In other words, a man who is not being led of Christ, who is he being led of? It's only two areas of leadership we have in the world. You say that the man is a power unto himself. Any man you see a power unto himself, it's the devil leading him. There is no middle ground. You see, man does have some force and some power. But when man thinks he's doing his thing, he's really doing what the devil wants him to do. So we're talking about submitting to Christ. We're talking about Christ being the head. We're talking about the man child. When Christ is your head, then you are birth. The church is birth. When we know how to make Jesus Christ our head, then we have come out of Babylon. But the hindrance is our thinking. You understand? We find all different kinds of doctrines come against us to stop our thinking. Some say the Bible is not all there. You know, some parts of it is not right. Amen. And I remember a young man once, he was told by his minister, you know, some parts of the Bible not really right. And so he inquired as to what parts weren't right. And the minister preached and told him. And so he went home and took a scissors and cut out all the parts that the minister said was not right. And he threw that away. And he came along and he heard again some part not right. So he cut that out. And his Bible was getting thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner until he just barely had a little piece left. So this man asked him, "What happened to your Bible? Your Bible is getting thinner every day." He said, "Well, he only cut out the parts that the minister said wasn't of God." And if you do that, if you ever try that, you know, you really have nothing left. Because the whole Bible is knitted like this together. Everything is knitted, and anyhow you cut out a piece, you would lose a part of a story. Amen. Praise God. See, so God is speaking to a people. And God is saying to the people, Jesus Christ must be Lord. So then if Jesus Christ is Lord, how do I obey my elders? You will recognize Jesus in your elders. Amen. If you recognize any other spirit, then you need to tell them. Amen. Oh yes. If you recognize another spirit in me, you better come and tell me. Amen. Because I am with you, I don't want it. I don't want any other spirit but the Spirit of God, and I want Jesus Christ to be my head. See, this is the point. This is the main point. That the churches out there do not want Jesus Christ to reign over them. Because if Jesus Christ reigns over you, many a times, instead of lifting up your horn and showing how big you are, it might be turned down and show how small you are. Sometimes you can really feel small. Amen. Praise be to God. One brother said, "Who are you, you know? Who are you? I don't have to talk with you. I don't have to deal with you. I don't know who are you." I said to myself, well, if he doesn't know that Jesus Christ sent me, something is wrong with his eyes. But the church has been losing its hearing and losing its eyes. You know, getting deaf and getting blind. The scripture said that Samson went to a woman in Sorek, and her name was Delilah, and that he kept fooling around with Delilah until Delilah sold him out to the government, and they sent soldiers and plucked out his eyes. Why do you think that's in your Bible? Because Delilah means the false church, and Samson is a type of the true church. And Samson has been fooling around too long. He lost his eyes. But blessed be the God, the story ended good. They said that his eyes didn't grow bad, you know, since that wouldn't be natural. But God said his hair, which is his covering, began to grow again. In other words, why Samson lost? He was fooling around, he never lost. But when he lost his power was when she cut the hair off his head. Don't you know it's your covering he's talking about? That's why somebody brought out a false doctrine on the covering. Somebody brought us a false doctrine that you must have covering by men. Yet the word of God tells me, woe be unto them that have another covering beside my spirit, said the Lord God. Yeah. Then, you know, we couldn't even go into all the false doctrines tonight. But any time people get into heresy, they hit certain doctrines. They hit the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, and his return. They hit the whole of that. They hit the doctrine, like they bring out the doctrine of the devil. Can you imagine the devil preaching the doctrine of the devil? What would the devil say? Wouldn't the devil blame God? Huh? Any doctrine that blames God is the devil's doctrine. Your mind alone could tell you that. Any way a doctrine comes out to blame God, it's the devil's doctrine. There may be some things about God I don't understand, but God is right. Not because I don't understand it, then I should make up a story and give the devil the right to be a devil. For if my good God made a devil, how could the devil help being a devil? Come on, tell me about that. You tell me. Could the devil resist God from being a devil if God made him a devil? He had to be what God made him. But my good God made me. He didn't make me a sinner. But when he made me, he knew that I could not help being a sinner. Come on. So then, he created me a sinner. In other words, he made me good, but created me a sinner. And so he said, oh no, you can't go to hell for being a sinner. I'm going to send my son down and pay for your sin. And said, the only thing will take you to hell is if you reject my son, not sin. Not because you sin why you go to hell. It is because you reject Jesus Christ, the only way out of sin. Isn't that very simple? No, that looks to me like a good God. That looks to me like a good God. But if a good God made me a sinner and left me there to go to hell, then I would say, well, this couldn't be a good God, for he didn't save me. Yeah. So one thing we are sure, that God never made the devil a devil. And when we look into the Bible and see what God made, the Roman church took out the word. Hear what happened. The Roman church went into Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. And the Bible said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Hillel? They take out the word Hillel and they put in the Roman word Lucifer. It changed the whole Bible. Because Lucifer is the god of Rome. They are worshippers of the heavenly host. So they worship the sun, Sunday. They worship the moon, Monday. They worship Saturn, Saturday. And so they worship the different stars of heaven, the hosts of heaven. The Bible says they worship the hosts of heaven. And so we find that they put the morning star that they call Lucifer. They call the morning star Lucifer. So they put the name of the morning star God that they worship into the place where the Bible said Hillel. How would you like to see Latin in the middle of a Hebrew text? When that text was written, there was no God named Lucifer. Don't you see? Latin wasn't even invented. Amen. How would you get a Latin word in the middle of that Hebrew text? See? And so we find that Babylon has woven a web over us. and some dear brother pick it up and preach a whole message on it. And he turns Lucifer into the Adam. And some people saying Lucifer is Jesus Christ. You ever heard that message? Hallelujah. Babylon is falling. It's already falling because the head of Babylon are devils. And if you don't pull yourself out of that condition, you will be submitting to devils without knowing it. Amen. Oh yes. Amen. They take the communion. They take the communion and they make a mockery of it. They said when the priest blesses the bread, it becomes flesh. It becomes meat. And when he blesses the wine, it becomes blood. And so he drinks the blood, and the people, poor people, tell with their tongues loud to get a piece of the wafer, to believe that they are eating the flesh of Jesus Christ. Disfigure the communion, turn you off from the truth. Never get the truth. What the communion is to do in the church, it hasn't been done, because the people don't know what to do. What the communion is doing, what Jesus made it for, is to say, you are the bread, my brother. You, my sister, you are the bread. And the energy and the life of Jesus Christ between us. I give you life. You give me life. Amen. And this is the energy, the life, the blood. And so when we drink it, it's an emblem, a covenant I'm making with you. I'll never let you down, brother. It's just like the lodge people, when they get together in the Mason Lodge or whatever lodge, and they make that covenant, no lodge man can go against his lodge brother. I have seen judge about to sentence a man to death, and the man made a certain signal to him, and the judge excused himself from the case. He could not, he cannot, he dare not, believe me, go against his lodge order to sentence his brother, lodge brother, to death. Because they make a covenant of death in that lodge. You hear me? Brethren, I am saying that when we come to the communion table, it's a covenant we are making with the church. That will never hurt them, will never say anything against them, will never let them down. When you make that covenant and you turn around and you hurt your brother, God says, for this cause some of you die. Amen. You take the blood unworthily, the bread unworthily. So you see what Babylon has done to our gospel? Amen. I could go on and on and on all night, but rebellion against God. From tonight, let us want God to be our ruler, reign over us, be king over us. Let God reign. Glory to God. Amen. You begin to think of it, because you know what? We submit without thinking. Some of us are just innocent as ever. We submit to the things of the world, to the things of Babylon, to the things of the devil, without thinking of it. Amen. Amen. And it's spirits that are ministering death to the people of God. And this is the place that Satan is setting up his kingdom. The Bible said he stands up in the holy place. Don't you know what that means? It means he has taken authority over the holy place. Do you know, now this is for your information, do you know that your Pentecostal leaders have gone to Rome and submitted to the Pope and tell the Pope that he is the head of the church? Do you know that your evangelical leaders have gone to Rome and submitted to the Pope that he is the head of the church? It means that they are taken. That's what it means. It means that they are already taken. It means that the churches are being ruled over by devils. And there's no way that anybody could successfully refute what I say here.
You believe me. There's no way. Because what I'm saying here, I've got it from a higher authority than any authority that could be refuted. And I'm saying that the wave of apostasy and rebellion, the apostasy is not falling down. A man falls down, he pitches off someplace, he falls down, he can't help himself. Apostasy is a deliberate stepping down, stepping away from, turning your back upon. That's apostasy. That's what we have in the church tonight. And God said that the Antichrist is going to set up his throne in the holy place and in the mind of men. And God help us, because already the mark of the beast has begun to make its mark upon all people. Amen. And God is at this time marking his people. Let us submit ourselves to God. Hallelujah. And get the Lord to mark us with the everlasting mark that no beast will be able to come in. God bless you. In the name of Jesus. Praise be to God. Hallelujah.